Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode 115 with Megan Peterson. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of the podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Megan Peterson, we explore a number of interesting topics like how schools can get involved with telemedicine providers and what the heck is telemedicine? The genesis story of second chance counseling, how Oprah's Live Your Best Life brewed the creative solution to addiction therapy, and ask the people you serve, tell me what you like and what you don't like. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I would like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. I know the owner and founder of School Spirit Vending. He is a personal friend and he brings hassle-free fundraising to your school. But even better, Matt has written a top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. He's given it away completely free. Get it at schoolzonepodcast.com. That's the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Hey there, better leaders. I am here with Megan Peterson, who after working in the addiction field for over 15 years, both as a counselor and pharmaceutical rep, Megan Peterson knew there could be a better way that patients could get help. She took action and started Second Chance Counseling Service. She believes that patients deserve that second, third, 10th chance. As long as you are willing to put in the work, she will be there to help. Certain times in life, we may need professional counseling. Why be limited by our schedules, work, family, commitments, and the list goes on and on. Megan provides an easy solution that is just as cost-efficient as current counseling solutions and provides more flexibility, easy use, and offers more choices for patients. She truly believes the telemedicine platform fits in with the future of treatment and is here to stay. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here this morning.
Can we just start with telemedicine? I think I can figure it out a little bit based on the roots. And I read that in your bio prior to this interview, but I'm curious if you could unpack that a little bit for our listeners.
Sure. So telemedicine is just a different way of delivering medical services to, I guess, people of this world at this point. So, in fact, they are actually interesting enough. I just read an article yesterday that there's a lot of schools in rural areas right now that are implementing telemedicine even within their school systems, which is a great asset because a lot of the times, you know, kids get sick in school. Let's face it, it happens quite frequently, especially when summer lets out and everybody goes back to school. It seems like the first couple months, everybody's getting sick because everybody congregates together and it's the fall. So now what they're doing is they have like a nurse practitioner or an RN or somebody else that is present in the school at all times. And they have a doctor on call where the, you know, patient and the nurse can call that doctor and say, hey, this patient is exhibiting like signs of a cold or strep throat or certain other things, where then the doctor would just write a script right for that patient and kind of e-scribe it, which means it goes right into the pharmacy at that given time, especially if it's for an antibiotic or other medication like that. And then, you know, the parents would be notified and the parents can just pick up the medication on their way home. So it's a different way of delivering services, and in many instances, an easier way to deliver services because, you know, some of the things and a lot of the reasons that our healthcare industry has changed and different things have been implemented is because our ERs and other institutions has been basically clogged up with patients for like minor injuries or, you know, minor common colds or flu or things like that, where now patients can actually stay at home and get services delivered to them. Like, for instance, our children have not seen a doctor in, you know, over 2 years. We've done everything remote via telemedicine to the physicians, you know, that we need to if they get a cold or they're sick or we have a problem or they got a rash or whatever the case may be. So it's just an easier way to deliver those services to individuals.
Yeah, I mean, as powerful as technology is getting, it seems like it's almost like an on-demand form of medical services.
Yes, absolutely.
How would schools get involved with telemedicine? And how could they, I guess, find those providers and maybe even evaluate the quality of the care they might receive?
Sure. So that would just be, you know, I would look out to people even in your own school system, you know, have a meeting and talk to parents, because you might even have parents within the school system that have children that are attending there that would love to be able to help or refer someone else to you. So I think just looking within your own school system at that time and taking a look at if you can house somebody on staff, you know, on site at all times. And then, you know, people in the industry right now, especially in the medical industry, a lot of them know about different EMRs and EHRs and different platforms that need to be provided to make sure that everything is kind of HIPAA compliant and that it's secure for the patient to be able to talk to the doctor and back and forth and deliver those services.
Do you mind sharing the story of how Second Chance Counseling started?
Sure. I'd love to. So it was something that I thought of when my husband and I were at a conference together. And I definitely never envisioned myself as being a business owner, that's for sure. But being in the counseling industry for over 10 years, I realized that a lot of my patients would come in and, you know, they would be working or they would have families and they would be canceling appointments because it was difficult for them to get to me at that time, but they still really wanted help. So, you know, we have technology on us at all times. You know, a lot of us are carrying like laptops or phones or tablets or, you know, whatever the case may be. So why would we not leverage this technology right now to be able to deliver services when the patients need it, not necessarily, you know, having them go into we call it sticks and bricks, into like a sticks and bricks facility. Because a lot of the times you are, like, even just think about it now when you go to the doctor's office, again, even with my own children and not going back and forth to a pediatrician's office now, you know, when your kids are sick or when something's going on, you have to load everybody up in the car and then drive there and then you drive there and then you wait. And then you finally get to see somebody and then you see them and then you have to hop back in the car and then you have to make your drive back. So you're spending like an hour to 2 hours to getting to your destination and, you know, accomplishing some of those things that you want to accomplish versus now you can do it in the luxury of your own home, or you can do it, you know, in your office on your lunch break, or you can do it in your car, you know, obviously not driving. Please don't do it while you're driving, but you can, you know, now have these services at your fingertip when you need them. And a lot of platforms are now engaging in this types of service, because I also believe that therapy is a continuous thing. It's not it should not be. And we don't view it as a come see me and then I'm not going to see you again for 2 weeks or have contact with you, because life is, you know, ever evolving and things happen every day. So it's nice to be able to have those touch points with people on a continuous basis to make sure that you're doing well and that if you need help, that you have somebody that can reach out to.
And I'm very, very curious. What do you remember what conference you were at when this idea was sparked?
Yeah. So funny enough, I got tickets to Oprah's Live Your Best Life tour, and I totally drugged my husband there with me.
That's awesome.
And you know, they were talking about really about what your purpose is. And at that time, my husband and I decided that we were going to make some lifestyle changes, you know, within the way that we raise our kids and school and things like that. And I was kind of looking for what I can do, because I do have a lot of knowledge and I feel like I have a lot of knowledge and I do have a purpose and I'm meant to do something. And I, you know, I always felt like I was supposed to do something, but I wasn't quite sure what that is. And it was a lot of internal struggle though as well. And finally at that conference, I told my husband, I was like, I'm tired of this. Like, I really need to figure out what this is. And it was really weird and kind of eerie as well. I kind of looked up into the rafters and I said, all right, I'm done. Like, I'm tired of, you know, trying to figure out what you want me to do. Like, seriously, like, I give up, you know, I surrender. What do you want me to do? And I'll do it, because I'm tired of like this internal battle. And that's when this idea actually popped in my head. And I turned around and I looked at my husband and I said, I know what I'm going to do. And he's like, okay. And I told him, he's like, all right, do it. But that came with some challenges too, because saying you're going to do something and then actually owning it and doing it can be two completely different things. But I finally did decide to do it, and here we are today.
That's a beautiful story. I love how Oprah's Live Your Best Life inspired you. And there you are looking up into the rafters and looking for direction, and inspiration struck. And you said, I know what I need to do. But, you know, you just mentioned saying you're going to do something and doing it are two different things. Can you dig into that a little bit?
Sure. Well, at that time, I said that I was going to do this. And that was over, gosh, I want to say like 3 years ago. But when you feel like something is greater than yourself, or that you're really meant to do something, I think just for me personally, and maybe other people feel this way as well, I felt an incredible amount of pressure that came with that. And almost to be like humble, like in a humbling sense too, because I'm like, well, who am I? You know, why am I supposed to do this? Like, why can't somebody else go do this? You know, why me? That kind of like, why me type thing. So I really struggled with that internally for quite a while. Well, obviously 2 years I struggled with that, until finally I actually tried to do this business model with other people and other individuals and kind of pull them into it. Nothing ever kind of worked out the way that I needed it to. And it wasn't until around December, my husband basically came to me and said, look, I love you and I'm supporting you, but you need to make a decision and, you know, either poop or get off the pot, because at this point I'm tired of hearing about this. So either do it or like shut up about it. And I'm not one that likes to live with regret. So at that point I knew that I just needed to kind of go all in and see what I can do with this and how we can really help people.
So with your husband's challenge and strong encouragement, that was a little bit of a catalyst to really get off, get second chance counseling off the ground?
Yes, absolutely. He gave me the push that I needed at that point. And I'm really grateful and appreciative too. I'm really lucky that I have a really supporting family, and my husband is fantastic.
Yeah, this is good. I like talking about it because, you know, even for school leaders, we need to have big dreams, right? And you had one, and you got that clarity, but then it was 3 years until acting on it, right?
Yes.
And I bet there's a ton of school leaders right now that they have a vision for their school. They know exactly what's going to serve their community at such a high level that nobody's ever seen it, but they're scared. And they're asking the same exact questions you were asking. Who am I to lead this? Well, you know, why me? You know, probably like, how's it even going to happen? You know? And I share this story in lesson 5, I want to say, this goal crusher productivity course that I teach. But I went to South Africa for 3 summers and worked with principals and teachers for 10 days. And so we went there actually not to work with kids, but work with adults and provide professional development. And the neat thing about the school is also connected to a church. And in South Africa, they had this word in the Xhosa language that was called Kuyahanjwa. And it aligned everything personally, professionally, and spiritually for this community. And the word Kuyahanjwa means to go big or to go home.
Yeah.
And that's how they live life. And it was incredible because they had such a modest school and church, you know, initially, right? But even in just 3 years, Megan, I saw it grow like crazy. And the principal just texted me, and it, right now, you know, we're recording, and it's June of 2017. This is getting released in October of 2017. And Mandla Higa, which is a beautiful name, his last name means power. So he's Principal Power.
Wow. He
talked about in 2014, he had this big dream of getting all these kids in American universities. And in a very rural, middle of rural South Africa, get them to America to experience this, you know, education system we offer in college. And to date, he's had almost 30 kids come from his school and get completely paid for it and all this stuff. And he's like, can you believe this big dream happened? And it's at Kuyahanjwa. It's like you, a second chance counseling and trying to offer these telemedicine services, right? On demand for people to make it easier.
Right. No, that's awesome. I totally believe that too. Go big or go home. Although, you know, obviously I was a little bit of a wuss for 2 years and I could talk the talk, but to kind of, you know, put backing behind it was different.
I think we all are like that, you know? So you have that big dream. I have some big dreams with better leaders, and I'm scared about it too. Cause the folks that I currently coach in the masterminds, they said something about the value they're getting and how it could change things in education. And what they said was so scary to me, because I'm just trying to run a few groups and work with some really great people and see results. And they challenged me to think so much bigger that, like, it absolutely scared me, because I'm not.
No, I totally get that.
I'm not ready, Megan, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get that.
I'm going to figure it out, though. So I'm gonna poop or get off the pot. I love that phrase. I don't know that I've heard it in a very long time. So thank you for bringing it up, too. But your husband, you know, challenged you. And so you got the fire in your belly. And then what? Because as leaders, right, school leaders, they got the vision. Okay, now they're listening to this. They're ready to go. Now what? How did you actually start to take steps?
Well, I, you know, had to develop some sort of a plan and figure out, you know, what this would look like. So obviously it was educating myself on like website development and, you know, devising a strategy of hiring therapists and what type of therapist that we wanted to hire. And then, you know, what in the field, you know, kind of how we wanted to market ourselves and how we wanted to share our vision with other providers and let them know the type of services that we're providing and the different types of patients that we can help. So it was just kind of about sitting down and kind of writing it all out. But that's ever changing, though, as well. I mean, I definitely thought that things would go differently in the beginning than where they're at now, even from the, you know, various different patients that are coming to us for help. So I think it's, you need to be a little bit flexible and be able to change things as they come and as different opportunities come to you as well, to figure out kind of how you want to flex and, you know, and how you can provide services to those individuals.
How did things change? This is important for school leaders too, because, you know, you had this vision, so you start off on the path. But a lot of times when it starts to manifest and take shape and you're coloring within the lines, it's not necessarily, you know, what you may have anticipated. I just wanted to start a show and start a conversation. I didn't know what Better Leaders, Better Schools would turn into. And I knew I wanted to have impact. And now, you know, things are evolving and that's okay. You said be flexible. So how did things change for you?
Well, Daniel, when I first started this, I thought because of, you know, the vision that I see and just the accessibility and how I really do have such a passion with this and really want to help patients, that I anticipated like all these patients were going to flock to the platform and say like, yes, you know, this is exactly what I need and I need to get this help, but it's difficult because I work or I have family or things like that. And that's not how it's happened. So we've developed a lot of partnerships with inpatient facilities and outpatient facilities and like step down programs where we're kind of intervening and helping patients kind of along their journey. So I never thought about, you know, partnering with inpatient, you know, facilities and meeting with their patients while they're still there with our therapist and having discussions with them and then kind of doing a step down program. That's not how I initially envisioned this, but as it kind of started to develop into that, I was like, wow, that totally makes sense. And that's, I mean, it literally is not something that's ever been done before either. And what a great way to be able to deliver care to, you know, to patients and make sure that they know who their therapist is even before they leave. But then we've also developed too, you know, talking about schools and kids that are suffering and having problems too. We've partnered with Urine Screen companies that are finding that a lot of parents are actually ordering urine screens to test their children because they're starting to see, you know, different behaviors in them. And how can we deliver services to that those families then, where the families are now like, okay, my kid is not acting necessarily the way that they were acting before. I'm not quite sure about the kids that they're hanging out with, and now I have concerns. So we're actually kind of intervening and having conversations with those parents to find out, you know, where their child is and if they need to get outpatient at that point, which we could provide, or if it's something more serious where we need to actually connect them with an inpatient facility at that time.
I appreciate you sharing that, because it just goes to show, you know, again, like how those plans change, but also too, it opened up new ways to connect, right? Partnering with
right.
with traditional, did you call it sticks and bricks, I think?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Clinics. And here you are. It's like you're providing the perfect transition service, right?
Before right.
people go back out there in the world. So with Second Chance Counseling, and correct me if I'm wrong, so I don't know if it's what you primarily do, but I know you deal with addiction and counseling folks there. And I'm wondering if you could speak on that, because, you know, during our pre-chat, we were talking about some of the scary things that our kids are engaging in. And,
right.
you know, as a show for schools and school leaders, I want to bring awareness to these issues. And this is why I was like super excited to get you on the show. I haven't had an expert with you know, this type of background, and people need to hear it. So what can you tell us in terms of serving our kids and things to look for, how to help? You know, I'm asking like a million questions, but let's go that route. Let's go that route.
Okay. So yeah, it's a super scary time right now. I'm a parent. I have two children of my own. They're 11 and 8. And things are, and I'm sure our parents said the same thing, like, oh, school is not the way that it used to be when we were in school. I'm sure that they said that, but I definitely feel that this way, the way our schools are today as well. And the way the drug epidemic has kind of progressed is, when you and I were younger, you know, obviously it was alcohol and pot was a really big, scary thing when you were a kid in school, and, you know, not to engage in that, different types of activity. And other kids that engaged in like harder substances, well, you know, they were quote unquote labeled as the bad kids. But today it's definitely changed and evolved to the point that we have a lot of young kids that are engaging in illicit substance use, opiates even in particular, that's climbed to an all-time high with a lot of our adolescent kids. And that's kids, you know, going into parents' cabinets and grabbing medications that they're not really clear about what they're going to do to them, other than the fact that they're going to give them a you know, kind of a out of body feeling. So it's scary, and it's kind of a, you know, it's a battle that a lot of people are facing and a lot of schools are facing as well.
And you know, when we suspect, I guess, kids are struggling with addiction or experimenting with drugs, what are some steps we should take as school leaders?
So I think involvement with the, you know, school therapist or school counselor at that time, even a teacher that the student can really connect with, and obviously the parent or family involvement. So that's challenging, because us as parents, and what I've seen obviously in this industry as well, is for whatever reason, parents still take ownership of their children's behavior. So when your child does become addicted, a lot of parents are thinking like, oh, this is my fault. I can't talk to anybody about it. Like, how is this my kid? What did we do wrong? You know, was it because I yelled too much, or because I work too much? Or, you know, a lot of parents blame themselves if they've separated or been through that type of family dynamic. And it's really not. I mean, some of those things can sure play a fraction, you know, of a minute into some of those behaviors, but a lot of parents blame themselves and then don't really go out and acknowledge the fact that there's a problem and look for help, which is challenging. So I think that the first thing is to be able to have that honest conversation with the parent and let them know that, like, this is not all your fault, and we're here to support you, and we're here to help you, and what can we do, you know, and let's look at some of those next steps. Meaning, a next step would be either to, you know, obviously give us a call to get an evaluation, kind of figure out where your child is at that time, or even, you know, if you have local facilities in your area, to go seek somebody there as well and get a professional kind of evaluation at that time.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, like, you can help actually evaluate and identify if a kid is struggling with these issues.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great. And at the end of the show, we always talk about, you know, how to connect. So listeners, if you're fired up and ready to give Megan a call or connect with her on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or website, email, all that's going to be talked about at the end of the show. And it's always linked up in the show notes. So this is a really important service you provide, and I'm hoping that people do reach out and connect with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so too, because I know it's a, I mean, I did it with my own family. We had a family member that was addicted to substances, and quite frankly, I actually watched it with my own parents be in denial on a multitude of levels. And at that point, I was actually a drug and alcohol counselor, so I really got to see it from a different perspective. So I really do understand the family dynamic and kind of how that works. But then I also have it on the other side, though, too. I have two kids of my own, and I see the kids that they play with and kind of the different things that they're exposed to as well. So I kind of get it from all ends at this point.
And I know perspective is so important. And it's like all in how you look at things. So how do you use that mindset as a, you know, business owner and operator and as a therapist with clients?
So it was interesting. So perspective, I just actually read something today. Actually, what was it? It was a post. I posted this morning on our Facebook account. It was Gary V actually posted something, and I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful. And basically what it said was how a lot of people try to tear you down and define who you are. And I think that it's really important that you need to define who you are before you allow other people to do it for you. And I think that's really powerful as adults and even as adolescents too, because obviously as adolescents, you're trying to figure out who you are. I mean, that's what these kids are doing today. They're trying to figure out who they are, how they fit in the world, what group they fit in, you know, different things like that. But even as an adult, and I'm sure maybe you've experienced this, Daniel, owning your own business, like you get people that are absolutely on your side and they're like, hey, this is fantastic. But then you get other people that just have negative things to say as well, or they just want to tear you down for whatever reason. So I think it's really important that you know who you are and define who you want to be for yourself first, so that you don't allow anybody to do that for you.
Yeah, I found that picture too. So we'll link that up in the show notes. And that's great, because they'll see your Facebook too. But it's, yeah, you're either going to define yourself for yourself, or you're going to let somebody else define you.
Yeah, I think that's pretty powerful. It was something nice to wake up to this morning.
Absolutely. He's so inspiring to me. So I love that. Thank you for sharing it.
Sure.
Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls, there's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcasts. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. So you said you saw it when you wake up this morning, and our leaders are really interested in habits and rituals that help people be effective. You know, and you were mentioning too in the pre-chat, like how you're on the road a lot and looking for homes and all different stuff. So I'm just curious, you know, what do your mornings look like? Is there anything that you do to help you have a successful day?
A cup of coffee.
Me too. Yes.
You know, I like watching the news in the morning, at least a kind of 15 minutes to a half hour chunk, just to see if I miss anything really important that's going on. But I also try not to, I guess, indulge in a lot of the negative media, because a lot of it is negative on there as well. So usually when I wake up, I'll start to look at my emails and I'll look at Facebook. I'll answer, you know, instant message or private messages that were sent to us with questions, things like that. And then I sit down with my cup of coffee and I kind of give myself 15 to 20 minutes to kind of decompress and watch the news and not think about anything before I kind of dive into it full-fledged in my day. But then obviously with kids and kind of what we do though too, things are always thrown at me in every direction. So I don't necessarily, I don't have a 9-to-5 job. And most business owners don't. In fact, I was up till 1 o'clock, you know, yesterday evening dealing with some individuals on Central Time, because obviously they're a couple hours behind us. I'm on East Coast time right now. So I think when you're a business owner, your hours need to be flexible and you need to kind of flex to what people need and where they're at that time. So I think that's important.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, currently currently in Houston, but by the time this airs, I'm going to be in Antwerp, Belgium. So I am going to have to
Wow, that is a time change.
Yeah. And now I'm talking about GMT time and, you know, figuring out like how to be flexible and still serve amazing school leaders across the world. But that's going to be interesting. So we'll see how this goes. I can't wait to hear shows later, you know, to unpack, like, did he make it? Did he survive? So it's going to be good.
That's awesome.
Megan is a leader of Second Chance Counseling. How would you describe your leadership style and how did you develop it?
You know what I've learned over the years, I try to listen to people that work for me. You know, obviously I have my own goals and I have my own aspirations, but I try to listen to a lot of feedback from people that come on board and want to partner with us. Cause I think that's important to hear the people that are around you and, you know, make them feel supported as well. So I kind of go in it where I have always had a difficult time with titles. In fact, when I developed this company, that was actually one of the hardest things. And it was funny. I still remember my husband was sitting down saying, you know, you need to call yourself something. And I'm like, no, I don't. He's like, no, you really do. He's like, so was it going to be, you know, COO or, you know, founder or, and I was like, oh, I don't know. I said, because I really don't consider myself as any of those. Look, I just started something. And if it wasn't me, I'm sure it was going to be somebody else. And if it was somebody else, I'm sure it'll be somebody else down the road too, right? But I'm just one person. And I think it takes a village. So I do a lot of things with our therapist where I have conversations with them and even our patients. And I'm like, look, you know, tell me what you like and tell me what you don't like. And I'm okay to hear that because I really want to know what's working and then how we can make this better. And if we need to change things, then let's take a look at how we need to do that. So I think that's really super important is to be able to be open-minded and listen to other people around you. It doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's always going to be right, or that they're going to have the same vision that you do. But I think it's still important to listen.
Yeah, listening is a crucial leadership skill. And I like, too, that, you know, it takes some courage to ask people, hey, tell me what you like, what you don't like. Because, you know, the what you like stuff is going to make you feel great. But
right,
what you don't like, you have to be ready and confident and have great esteem in yourself. Because if the person is candid, they're going to tell you things that need to be improved. And then to be able to serve that community at a high level, right, you're going to have to be able to adapt. But kudos to you for having the courage and bravery to ask those questions.
Thank you. I'm trying. I try not to look at it so much as a personal attack, more so as they're telling me because they really truly believe in what we're doing and they want to make it better. So if you kind of depersonalize it, plus I was always a think, do, get person. Like if I think it, I'll do it and then I'll make sure that I get it. So if somebody tells me something and I was like, wow, you know what? I'm only one person and I only see things my way, right? A lot of the time. So it's important to see how other people see things too, because a lot of times they'll give me suggestions or say, hey, have you thought of that? I was like, wow, no, I totally haven't. But that is a fantastic idea. Like, yes, you're absolutely right. This can be done this way instead. And let's do it that way. Or how can we implement that? So I think it's important to kind of not have as big of an ego and realize that, you know, your way is not the only way, that other people have opinions that may actually work or be more beneficial on a higher and greater level.
Yes, absolutely. Exclamation point. And again, that's all about perspective, you know?
Yeah.
and for listeners, our July, August book, I know it's October, but we read Ego is the Enemy. And Megan just talked about, you know, how to make it depersonalized. It's not all about you. And if you want to explore ego or you think that you may be too egotistical as a leader, I highly recommend checking out Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. That'll be linked up in the show notes, too. I've gone easy a little bit on you, Megan. So we talked about all the great things you're doing, but I love to ask guests, what has been your worst leadership mistake and what have you learned from it?
My worst leadership mistake. You know what? This is going to sound maybe silly. Sometimes I tell people too much. Like
I do the same thing.
I am the most honest, blunt person you will probably come across. And sometimes I've realized that not everybody is ready to hear that. So, you know, I've had conversations where I've thrown people off guard or I've put people off because I was almost too honest and kind of right there. So I think that in being a entrepreneur and owning your own business, sometimes I need to hold some things closer to my chest and not be so willing to kind of throw that all out there.
Yeah, I struggle with that too. So I appreciate
it. It's tough.
It is.
Because I've got nothing to hide.
Yes.
But some people aren't ready to hear it yet.
Yes. And you're probably like me. You really value a high level of transparency, right?
I do. And honesty. I don't care what you have to tell me. Just give it to me straight and be honest about it. Yes.
Good. I appreciate you sharing that too. It makes me feel a little bit more normal. Megan, what are you particularly proud of Second Chance Counseling? What are you particularly proud of your counseling service for accomplishing or attempting in this past year?
I mean, this is a huge, I'm really proud of just starting it, first of all, and just delivering care in a different way and making this more accessible to patients. I mean, we're really running it more like an outpatient facility and making it easy for patients to get the help that they need when they need it. And I'm just really proud that I took the steps to make this accessible to everybody. Because every day is something different and every day is a journey, especially, you know, doing this. So I'm just kind of taking it as it comes and just feeling grateful, I think, as well. Because I'm sure you can relate and a lot of people can relate, or even like, you know, principals and other people in education. Like sometimes in this, I definitely feel like it's a roller coaster. No one ever prepared me for that, right? No one ever said, oh, you may want to like reconsider this because you're going to have some of those like nightmare moments where you're going to wake up and go, what the hell am I doing? And you definitely have those when you have your own business. So, you know, I think that acknowledging those and kind of being present and then being grateful for what you have accomplished and where you've come. And then also surrounding yourself with, you know, other people that want to lift you up and encourage you, I think is also really important.
How do you prepare for the roller coaster?
Oh God, you don't. I'm sorry. I don't know how you could. I really don't know how you could. I definitely didn't. And I'm still totally in it. I mean, I talked to somebody a couple days ago and they're like, oh, well, tell me about your struggle. I'm like, struggle. I'm like, the struggle is real, my friend. I'm like, I am in it.
I have. Real.
I have those high days and those low days still. But what pulls me out or what keeps me going is the fact that I really do feel like this is something that's greater than myself. And I really do feel like, you know, I was meant to do this. And even if I look back in time, as far as all the jobs that kind of led me up to this and all the situations in my life, I really do feel like I'm standing where I need to be standing right at this minute, which is both gratifying and scary all at the same time.
Mm. Well, we're wrapping up this interview with four quick response questions and then one big one for you at
okay.
the end. But I'd like to ask all the guests, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
You know what? I was reading Tim Ferriss's book.
Sure.
You know, I like that book only because it gives you a wide range, a variety of self-improvement, and he's already tested a lot of those methods.
Which so one? Tools of Titans or
something? I liked the, what was it, the 4-Hour Body?
Yeah, 4-Hour
really
Body.
I really enjoyed that one on multiple levels, but I also have Tools of Titans that I'm actually currently reading right now. So I really enjoy those because he's put himself through it. So it's not just somebody kind of like spouting off. He's done all the things and done all the research in writing that.
Megan, what do you do for fun?
Spend time with my kids. Honestly, they definitely put a different perspective on the world and they ground me. So we like camping and hiking and being outdoors in nature. Even if it's just like we like going to new restaurants and kind of like just picking something and saying, okay, let's go try it. And then I'll go as a family and sit and eat and talk about what we're eating and if it's good or not any good. So that's what I really like to do for fun.
If you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Huh, that's a challenging question. I think reading people, because it's what I do by nature. And I feel like I'm good at it, but sometimes somebody will show up completely differently than what I expected, and that throws me off.
What message would you put on all school marquees around the world if you could do so for just one day?
Seize the day. Carpe diem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You only get, you don't know. I mean, literally none of us know, right? So like seize it, like take advantage of that moment and just do what you're set out to do, because time is precious and we only get one. Well, you know, at least we only know that right now in the physical bodies that we're at, that we get one shot at this, right? So let's make sure that we do it right.
Well, this is the last question, Megan. I'm proud of you. You've made it through the interview. and I'm really interested in how you're going to answer this question too, because it's very focused on schools. But since you're outside and you work with schools and work with your clients, and you also, you know, school your kids, really wondering how you're going to answer it. So this is really exciting for me. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
You know what? I just read stuff about Finland today. And so I'm a homeschooler, for those that don't know that. So, and I was reading about all the different things that Finland is doing and how they're so successful in the schools and the way that they kind of interact with their kids. And I think that as a country, like, we're doing okay, but I think that we need and can do a lot of things differently. But I also know that there's a lot of political things and things like that that could change that. So if I could do anything, right, like no budget's the limit and I can change anything in an instant, it would be I would do more recess for kids. I think that kids need to get out and they need to have that social interaction and they need to have those breaks. I also would like to do curriculum-based things where it's not so broken up. Like, they were just talking about how they will give kids a problem that's actually in society at that time, and they'll work out math problems, science, and history all within the same topic. And I think that's really important, because I think right now a lot of things are disjointed, right? You go to English, you do English, and then you put that away, and then you do your math, and then you put that away. So I think those, having it all together and more life applicable, is really important. And then I also would incorporate other fun things, like let's have more art, let's have coding classes, let's have like healthy eating classes for kids that they can learn how to be like a mini chef and what's important, you know, nutrition values and things like that. I would make sure that we have all of those as well.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So the best way to get a hold of us is online. You can, you know, reach us through our platform or through chat, or you can, you know, obviously give us a call. And when you do call, at least for right now, you still get me. So you'll hear my voice on the other end. And if you don't, then it's because I'm on the phone with a patient or kind of dealing with other things at hand. But you can give us a call. Or kind of reach out to us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over, and we'd love to hear from anyone that needs help or advice, or, you know, just having a chat. They're always nice too. They kind of break up the day and are really nice to listen to other people that have input.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Megan. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Megan in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Megan, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thanks for having me.
Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.